If you would please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings. There in the Old Testament, tremendous passage of Scripture, rather lengthy. I would like to read the first 19 verses of chapter 19. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets, that's the prophets of Baal, he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy light as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, or Sinai, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and before the Lord passed by. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after and after the fire was a still, small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood at the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." The Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Japhat, and Ebamelo, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." And it came to pass that, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha. I want to stop at that particular point. If we had a text to probably wind up with verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I want to speak to you on the subject of depression, not expression, but depression, its cause and its cure. Psychotherapists and doctors tell us that one of the greatest problems we face in this generation is depression. It is a common problem, and everyone experiences at one time or the other. It was a common thing during Bible days for people to get depressed, severely depressed. Good example of this, Job was in a state of depression. And if anybody had reason for that, he certainly did. He had lost all of his income. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his sons. He lost his daughters. Everything that was near and dear unto him he lost. And he was brought to the very threshold of depression. Depression. And it was in that state of depression that Job makes this statement in chapter 3, verse 3 and 11. Let the day perish that I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man child conceived. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Now, you talk about depression. Yesterday was my birthday. I always like birthdays, especially my own. Tells me a lot of things. First of all, it told me I was alive. Had a lot to be thankful for. I always say, thank you, Lord, for another birthday. Job said, curse the day. God, I want you to put a curse on the day I was born. I hope nobody will ever remember me for anything. You're talking about depression. Jonah was in a state of depression when he was expecting God to curse the Ninevites, and instead he blessed with a mighty revival. And Jonah in chapter 4, verse 3 said, therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, take my life from me. It's better for me to die than it is to live. By the way, have you ever said that before? You say, well, Brother Cozart, I'd never say that. Have you ever thought it before? Has it ever gotten so bad and so difficult and so hopeless that you thought, you know, it would be better if I didn't even live? That's depression. That's depression. King David was in a state of depression when he said in Psalm 142, verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. Didn't have anybody that cared whether David was saved or lost, whether he's going to go to heaven or whether he's going to go to hell. He was in a state of depression. And here in our text, Elijah was in a state of depression when he said in this fourth verse of 1 Kings 19, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as I stated previously, I want to deal with the subject of depression, its cause and its cure. And I'm glad to be able to report that it can be cured. You don't have to go through depression the rest of your life. It can be cured. Where does depression come from? What causes it? It usually comes from either defeat or the threat of defeat. It can be spiritual. It can be physical. It can be mental depression. It can be financial. It can even be social depression. Where does it come from? Spiritual depression can come from addiction, temptation, and sin. When One recognizes there may be some area in his life that he has an inherent weakness towards certain things that are not good and are not right and are not scriptural. And he takes great delight for a while that he's able to overcome that addiction. But when he thinks he's mastered the addiction, it rises up and comes from a different direction. And he acquiesces and he says yes to temptation. And he feels so badly spiritually because that's happened to him. He's been defeated. And defeat has a way of producing depression. There's physical depression. I speak from example as well as experience. Can come from little sleep or no rest. Have you ever been there before? That's when you take sleeping pills and they don't even work. And nothing can be longer than the longest night without sleep. It goes on and on and on. And it leaves one absolutely exhausted. Not able to do what you used to be able to do because of age. Huh? That's a source of depression many, many times. Oh, I've always been able to take care of myself. Well, I got news for you. There's coming a day, if it's not already here, you're going to reach that time when you can't take care of yourself. Depression feasts on moments like that. Mental depression can come from failure to accomplish. Not being able to accomplish what you'd like to see done. And as a result, you are defeated by it. Depression comes from that. Financial depression can come from loss of job. That's a big wake-up call, isn't it? I don't have a place to go on Monday morning to work because I lost my job. Has a tendency to produce depression. Either that or unsurmountable expenses. Something happens, whether you had a car wreck or your home burned down with fire or whatever it was, it slapped you in the face, it defeated you, and as a result, it brought about depression. 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 Not only in that area, but social depression. What is social depression? It can come from the loss of a spouse. Yes, sir. It can come from the loss of a close friend. It can come from the loss of a child. Those who are closest and dearest to us, for whatever the reason, are not there anymore. And it leaves us empty inside. Depression. Depression sets in. Lord, take my life. It would be better for me to die than for me to live. Well, the cause of depression. Let me preface that by saying this. Depression is very real. It's not made up. It's as real and it can get as heavy as steel. It's a real thing. And we're faced with it in this life from time to time. What's the cause of depression? Well, depression usually follows victory. Now, that might come as a surprise. Well, you say, well, I thought it was always defeat. It can be and many times is, but sometimes depression follows victory. Look at verse number 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now, if you want to read somebody that's exciting, you read the life of Elijah in the Old Testament. I mean, he was on fire for the Lord. He accomplished absolute miraculous things through the power of God. And Ahab told his wife Jezebel all that Elijah had done. You know, every high mountain, you'll find this to be true, there's a valley that we must go through. There can be no mountain without the valley. There can be no mountain without the valley. If you take away the valley, everything is level mountaintop. There is no mountain if there's no valley. And valleys lead to the mountain. Elijah had predicted and prayed for a 3-year drought. Remember that? Which came to pass. Look at chapter 17 of 1 Kings, verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Not only did it stop raining, there was no dew, there was no moisture for 3 full years. You have to go to James chapter 5, 17 to get the exact number of years involved there, but 3 full years. Elijah said, "Lord, we need to teach these people a lesson." And Elijah began to preach, "There's not going to be any rain for the next 3 years." Now, you can try that. And it might seem like you're making some progress after a while, but about the time you think we're having a drought, here comes a flood. Because we don't govern those things, but God enabled Elijah to predict it, and it came to pass just as Elijah said. That's victory. There are a lot of things I can't do. I can't predict the weather. Neither can you, neither can anybody else. But wouldn't it be nice every once in a while just to spite some folks who've got their vacation plans already brought together? They've been waiting and looking and saving for this for a long time. Just say, "Lord, send a gully today. I'm in a gully washer. Wash them out." Well, that's because we're just poor sinners by the grace of God we've been saved. And we think about sometimes getting even with people. But what I'm saying is this. He predicted and prayed for rain for 3 years, and it came to pass. He defeated 450 prophets of Baal. You remember that account on Mount Carmel where the prophets of Baal prayed to their gods, plural, for hours and hours, and nothing happened? And Elijah began to pray to the Lord in about 20-second prayer, and all of a sudden God sent down fire from heaven. I'd never experienced anything like that before, but I know it must have just thrilled Elijah's heart to see God working like that. He wasn't down in the valley. He was on top of the mountain. This was wonderful. And then he prayed for rain to fall in the 41st verse of chapter 18, 1 Kings. He prayed for rain to fall, and it did begin to fall as soon as he started praying for it. Shut off the valve 1 minute and opened up the faucet the next minute. The Israelites enjoyed victory at the Red Sea. If you do not believe it, just review some of the passages in Exodus 15 when Moses and the children of Israel sang this song, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Boy, they were steamed up. They were happy about this. "The Lord is my strength. He's my song. He's become my salvation. He's my God. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea." Boy, that's victory. That's victory. But you know what? It begins to be drowned in depression. Go down to that same Exodus chapter 15, verse number 22. Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out of the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And verse 24 said, "And the people murmured." It's shouting 1 minute, murmuring the next minute. Praising the Lord 1 minute, talking about their troubles the next minute. It came after a great victory. Depression usually follows a great victory. They murmured. We need to be careful when all is going well. Depression is just around the corner, and it can happen within a split second. I hope you know what I'm talking about today, and I hope you can identify with a statement like that. Depression is caused by defeat or threat of defeat. In our text there in the 19th chapter, verse number 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And I want you to know, my dear friend, she put the fear of God in him. Bible says Elijah ran from Jezebel. I've heard some preachers condemn Elijah for it. I think he made a pretty good decision. Let me tell you, there's some people you need to run from. Not run to. You need to run from. But it came after this great victory. Depression causes us to run away. Look at verse number 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He came to Beersheba and belonged to Judah and left his servant there. Causes us to run away. It is very symptomatic of depression that when we are invaded by it, we run away. Sometimes from the very people that could help us. We feel like nobody cares anymore. And so I'll just withdraw myself and I'll run away. We run away from our spouse sometime. We run away from our children sometime. We even run away from God sometime. And I've seen it over and over and over again. We have a tendency to run away from church. I just won't go back to church because I'm hurting and because I'm going through depression, and we run away. You never want to run away when you're depressed. Depression also produces guilt, which causes us often to seek for death. Look at verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down upon a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it's enough. Now, in East Texas, we have an expression for those very words taken from Scripture. It is enough. I'm fed up. Have you ever gotten that place before? Just gotten fed up. I have had it up to here. Popeye used to say in the comic strip, I can't takes no more. Have you ever been there? Now you're looking at me like you've already been to heaven for 1,000 years. And you don't know what I'm talking about. I tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the person that wears your nose. And the problems that you face, sometimes you talk about them and sometimes you don't. But we all, from time to time, have this enemy called depression. Amen. Depression. Depression. Depression produces guilt, which causes us many times to seek for death. A believer can never be happy with sin. And if we engage in it, we're not going to be too happy. We're not going to feel so impressed. We're going to feel depressed. Let me give you this one. Depression makes us tired and sleepy. It's a common symptom of depression. I just feel so tired. I just don't think I can do anything anymore. And I'm just sleepy all the time. Look at verse number 5. He lay and slept under a juniper tree. I've never done that before. And behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, and there was a cake, but he was asleep, lifeless as it was. Depression. But we must remember that God is aware of our deepest depression. For God spoke up. He looked and saw that the angel of the Lord did something. He had a cake, bacon with coals, a cruse of water. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel woke him up the second time and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Depression is great, but God is greater. And God is aware of our deepest depression. I think we should pray many, many times, not only for people who are involved in outward sins of the flesh, but my dear friends of battling depression. Not everybody's as happy as you are, okay? And there's some people today that are going through very difficult times. And they don't just pass in 24 hours. It seems like they go on and on and on and get worse and worse. Depression causes withdrawal. Look at verse number 9. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Hey, buddy, what are you doing here? We have a tendency to crawl into our cave. And I think everybody has a cave. Many times the Bible used the word cave. Really, it was a grave. The Lord Jesus was in a cave in the side of a mountain. But in that cave, we're able to withdraw from society and feel what we want to feel. That's depression. And depression makes you feel alone, and it makes you feel sorry for yourself. Verse number 10. And Elijah said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel. They've forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars. They've slain thy prophets. And I, even I only, am left, they that seek my life to take it away. Lord, I'm the only one left that's taking a real stand for you. I mean, I go to church and everybody's a backslider except me. God, I just want you to know some of the good things I've been doing lately. We have a pity party and we invite nobody because we don't want anybody to show up but us. Okay? Let's spend a few minutes for the cure of depression. And I think there is a cure. Number one, strange as it may seem, verse number 11, get out of your cave. What does it say? Verse number 11. And the Lord said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Get out of your cave. Go forth. Go forth. Not only get out of your cave, but stand before the Lord. Did you see that? Stand before the Lord. Stand upon the mount before the Lord. Even a valley becomes a mountain when it's before the Lord. And I might suggest to you this morning that we need to be careful about the false solutions to our problems of depression. Now, I've seen depressed people before, and I know exactly what you're going through, and I know your hardships, and this is what you need to do. You need to go get drunk. I mean, get sock drunk. And you'll feel a whole lot better when you sober up. And you'd just be surprised at the people who turn to alcohol when they get depressed. I just want to get drunk and forget it. No, you don't forget it. It's worse when you drink, when you wake up than it was before you started taking it into your system. Stand before the Lord. Discard false solutions. Now this will take a moment. Verses 11 and 12. And he said, go forth and stand, Elijah. Stand upon the mount of the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountain and broke it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Who was his enemy? Jezebel. She was out to kill him, and she had the wherewithal to do so. He wanted God to eliminate his enemy, because it is when the enemy rises up and we're defeated, depression follows that defeat, and we have to discard false solutions. Have to be careful about the advice that we receive. The world is quick to give us solutions to our problems that just do not work. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Many, many people out there, they're full of opinions, but they're not good for you. So we discard the false solutions. Now, the wind sounded like a pretty good idea because tornadoes can kill people. Job lost his whole family as a result of a tornado. Said the wind blew, but it didn't hurt Jezebel. It didn't even slow her down. The earthquake, what about that? Shake her to pieces. Now, that's what an earthquake can do to Jezebel, but it didn't work. Did not hurt Jezebel. The fire that followed that did not burn Jezebel. The problem was still there. All of this was very impressive, but it didn't deal with his problem, and it did not deal with his depression. We must listen to the voice of God. We must listen to the voice of God. Look at verse number 12. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Why do we usually think that when God does something, it's got to be loud? It's got to be big. It's got to be astronomical. No, the greatest power that I know anything about today that can be used to combat our problems is the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That thing called in your hand the Bible, the Holy Bible, God's blessed Word. God spoke. And the voice of God would take care of Elijah's problem, which was Jezebel. By the way, did it? Look at chapter 21, verse number 23. And we don't have time to go into the background of it. But, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And you know that actually happened? The dogs came in and ate the flesh from her bone. God destroyed her depressiveness effect on Elijah. It's a cure. We must listen to the voice of God. Very quickly, verse 15 and verse 19, we have to go back and face the problem. Verse 15, what does it say? The Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Go back where you came from. Go back the opposite way you're traveling now. Turn around, go back. And when you comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And then verse number 19, so he departed thence and found Elijah. Go return. And he departed. Go return. And he departed. You know, you get back on the track where you were derailed. If you're not making progress in your life spiritually today, listen to me. If you're not making progress, when did it start? You have to go back to when it started. You get back on the track where you were derailed at. Go back. Go back. What brought it about? And God speaks comforting words. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in you that is in the world. David said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. The hills will never look taller than when you look to them from the valley. They get awfully high. One other thing. Never forget there are others who have problems just like you. You're not in this thing alone. In verse number 18 again, God said, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. Elijah kept telling God, I'm the only one left, Lord. They've all died out. I'm the only one that really preaches it like it ought to be preached anymore. I'm the one that holds to the doctrines of grace. Everybody else has gone to Armenian. I just want you to know, Lord, I'm still holding on as best I know how. God said, listen, I got 7,000 that haven't done business with the devil. There are a lot of people today, my dear friends, that are living for the Lord as you're trying to live for the Lord. And they're very successful in doing it. God is their anchor. He is their hope. So we must never forget that there are others who have problems just like we do. And we're not in this thing. And in returning, look. In returning, Elijah found a running buddy in Elisha. Did you see that? Verse 19. So he departed thence and he found Elisha. Who in the world was Elisha? I tell you who he was. He was somebody upon whom Elijah cast his mantle. And when the mantle hit Elisha, then God sent a chariot of horses to take Elijah out of this world. And Elisha became the center of the history from that point on. So, well, now why do you preach on something like this? It's like going out in the woods. Everybody got ticks. Huh? I have ticks. You have ticks. You have problems? Say, by the way, I have problems. Do you have feelings? I have feelings. We're human beings, but I'm so glad God has not left us alone in this world to fight the battles for ourselves. We have one greater than Him who lives within us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care what your depression is, He's greater than that. He's greater than that, and I recommend Him heartily to you today. Let's stand for prayer.